Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Hey, 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 my friends. Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ. Today, I am very excited to introduce you to my guest, Kevin Lee. So I'm going to bring him on in just a minute. If you are new to Off the Cuff, welcome. Come on in and enjoy the chat with us today. We are going to be connecting with Kevin Lee, who is a psychic medium, a reverend, and a nurse. I always get this messed up. Anesthetist. I think that's how you say it. So we're going to dig in on some of the experiences he's had on a spiritual level. And so welcome to Off the Cuff. Happy to have you here. And let's bring Kevin on. Hang tight. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hi, Sunny. Good to see you. Well, it's good, great to be a part of the show.
Yes, I'm happy to have you here. Absolutely. We've got people jumping on that are some people may know who you are, some may not. So I want to start by just reading your professional bio, so we know the, you know, little description about you and what you're doing, and then we'll get started. All right, my friend.
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. So Kevin is a Reverend Kevin Lee. He is a speaker, an author, metaphysical researcher, and a spiritual medium. Self-proclaimed ambassador for spirit, Kevin often serves conferences, churches, and beyond who are open to metaphysics, the afterlife, and self-betterment principles. His passion for teaching spiritual life principles and helping his audience awaken to new perspectives is at the heart of his work. Over the last 13 years, he has produced 1,800, that's 1,800, metaphysical events for his community. During that time, his mystical research into a rare spiritual phenomena called precipitation mediumship, images, writings produced by spirits out of the ethers. His research and experiences have surprised audiences and has since become published on Dr. Raymond Moody's website, Life After Life, with the Other Side Press. Awesome, Kevin. I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you. So, you know, it's just nice to be able to support people like you, especially with the mission work that you're doing here in your community. So I'm happy to support.
Thank you. Well, it's great to have you here and let people get to know you a little bit. So first off, we got to talk about 1,800 physical events. That's a lot. I mean, I've done a lot.
Let me tell you, when you run a church, you know, I call it my center of life, but it's a church, and it definitely was a labor of love. But what we had to do, because the ministers, when I came on board, they were all retiring. So it didn't take long before they realized I had a college degree. I could speak, I could organize, I could do marketing, I could do a lot of things. And what happened was I got pulled into leadership real quick, and we ended up, I really kind of got thrown into the fire. I learned how do you put together church programs and healing programs, meditation programs? How do I find the Sunny Dawn Johnstons in my area that will consider coming to my church? And how do I get people to come hear this Sunny Dawn Johnston that's coming to my church? And let me tell you, it's been 13 years of business school, and it's amazing. But I mean, in one day, we put on three or four events, different things at different levels for different audiences. So that's why it was a lot.
Yeah. So I have to know this, though, because when I see numbers like that, I'm like, all right, so do you just ballpark it, or do you actually go through and count and say, okay, here's our list of our calendar events over the last however many years, and this is how many we've done. What do you do?
Well, we basically, like on a Sunday, say for instance, if you come on a Sunday, well, we open up with a meditational service, like a healing service. So that's one. Then we have our spiritual hour, which is a full hour or more if I talk too long as the minister giving a sermon. Mm-hmm. So it's an hour-ish. And so then we move into another program in the afternoon, which typically are classes, lectures. It could be events. It could be my own message service or demonstration of psychic or mediumistic readings for audiences. And it just depends. Do I have an event? Is there another speaker coming behind me? So I could have three, four, five events just on one day.
Yeah.
And when you're doing that, 4 to 5 Sundays a month, plus you're doing, you've got a few other events during the month. You definitely stay busy, and that's 13 years of that. It's a lot.
It all adds up. Yeah. I mean, I read things like people are like, I've done 12,000 readings, and I'm like, oh my God, how do you feel? I mean, I have no idea how many I've done. Cause I've done it for so many years. I'm like, you have a little counter, you know? So,
right.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you. And I'm sure people really appreciate all that attention that you put out.
I love my people.
Yeah. So you are, and I have a hard time saying this word, but I think I got it out. You are a nurse anesthetist. Is that the right way to say it?
You get a gold star.
All right.
No one ever gets it right. That's exactly right.
Okay. A nurse anesthetist, a nurse practitioner, and a trained legal nurse consultant. Consultant. So
a bit of an overachiever.
Yeah. You do a lot of healing in a lot of ways, right? Yeah, so you help serve people on the physical and on the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is that when I, it must have been, gosh, probably 1989. I mean, I know I don't look like I was even born then, but a long time ago when I went to college, I met this young man on campus and we were at some sort of a political rally. And he was really supportive and nice. I was kind of nervous. I was a new kid on campus, a freshman, I think. And I said, what's your major? And he said, I'm going to be a nurse anesthetist. And all I heard was nurse. And in my mind, I kept thinking female nurse, but this is a guy and he wants to be a nurse. And I was so green and fresh off the farm. I didn't understand that men could be nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, I don't care what you think, but I'm going to be rich. My aunt is a nurse anesthetist. And I said, well, now I know you're lying because nurses aren't rich. I know that.
Yeah.
And so when he explained it to me, he said, I love helping people. And he said, nurse anesthetists are very independent. They typically work in their own practices or the operating rooms. They don't tend to be as often, in depending on the state, supervised by MDs, by anesthesiologists. They can work on their own, which is the case where I'm at in Florida. I could actually work on my own, but just under the surgeon's license.
Mm.
And so anyway, when I heard about there's independence, you can work on your own, you can start your own company, and you can administer medicine. I grew up on a small cattle ranch where we administered a lot of our own medicines to the livestock. So I was very comfortable with that. And I just thought, you know what? I love people. And I think I will always have a job as a nurse. And I think it's just an easy fit. And so that's what I jumped right into. I really appreciate him. He guided me into what really has become a nice career for me for probably 13 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It took me a little while to get there, probably 9 years, but I got there and just so grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't even know, really, I didn't even know there was, I mean, I knew an anesthesiologist, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that there were levels of it, I guess. Sure.
Absolutely. Well, it's actually, I'm directed by the nursing programs, nursing administration. So I'm technically supervised by directors that are nursing oriented, and the anesthesiologist will supervise you, or the surgeon will supervise you. Oh, they'll basically sign off legally.
Sure. So I have a question. So in that circumstance, in that situation, and you understanding and connecting with spirit as well, how many times do you have really cool experiences or people think that they just, you know, when they were in surgery, they just had this dream or something, but they really had some experience that you were able to connect with because you see things too?
I'll tell you one time in particular, it's really interesting because you would think that being very metaphysically oriented or spiritually connected that I would see stuff all the time. I don't. Mm-hmm. I can sense things in general and whenever I focus on it, I can. But in the operating room, I still don't even know the answer to this, but it's interesting. I don't see as much phenomena as I would expect. I don't see or sense that often. However, one time, in the beginning of my anesthesia career, when I was, we were working on a patient that needed basically a type of craniotomy, a brain surgery. And the patient was awake, which is really crazy. Part of the skull is removed and they keep the patient awake because as the doctor's working, they need to know, Kevin, move, you know, if I'm the patient, Kevin, move your right hand and I need to literally be able to move it. And if they press upon a segment of the brain that could potentially paralyze me permanently, my arm may drop if they're putting pressure on it. So it's a really difficult form of anesthesia. But while this patient was there, I was trying to keep him calm and comfortable and just keep him distracted, not listening to all the sounds. And the patient, I thought the patient was talking to me. And I said, excuse me. She goes, no, him. And I could see like a shimmer of white in the corner. And I said, you see that? And she said, yeah, it's a guy. And she told me, and it was someone that she knew who, mm-hmm. and she said, I said, what does that mean to you? And she said, oh, he's just here checking on me. Mm-hmm. I said, do you see this often? And she said, no, I've never, she said, I'm surprised I'm seeing it. I said, well, that's really interesting. And yeah. She knew who it was. So I truly believe it wasn't that he was there to welcome her into the spirit world, but he was there to just, I think, be supportive and just let her know that he was there to bring comfort to her. And I thought that was really interesting.
But that would be, the first thought would be, oh, shit, they're coming to get me.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah.
So what's interesting is, okay, so you came from a cattle ranch in a small town, you said.
Yes, we had we had pigs, cows, horses, turkeys, chickens. I mean, hundreds of all of these animals. So it was definitely a labor of love. Even our little vegetable garden that everybody talks about that they have in the backyard, ours was like over an acre big. It was massive. So when we got punished, it was either the belt for one, if it was really bad, or we were Kevin and his brother had to go to the garden and pull weeds for one or two rows. And let me tell you, those one or two rows took you a good couple of hours. They were so big. Yeah. You had plenty of work to keep you busy. So I hated it at the time, but now I'd give anything to have a farm. I would love to go back.
Isn't that interesting? Our elders are ahead of our time when we're kids, for sure. So in being brought up in what state were you brought up in?
In Central Texas, outside of Austin.
Okay. So being brought up in Texas on cattle ranch, then you're a nurse anesthetist.
That didn't go over well.
All of a sudden, somehow, then you start seeing dead people and connecting with mediumship. And all. So how did that happen? Because that's not a 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that makes sense. That's kind of a little.
I know. So basically, when I told my family, I said, oh, I'm going to be a nurse anesthetist. Of course, they only heard nurse. Uh-huh. And I was told, our son is not going to become a nurse. That's a woman's job. And which is originally what I thought as well. And I said, look, and it was interesting. It was a very adult conversation I had with them. I think I was 19. And I said, look, I know you want me to go into business because my family's all about ranching and having your own business and all this stuff. I said, but are you going to take care of me the rest of my life and pay all my bills? And they said, no. And I said, well, then let me do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'll take care of me. And that was actually the first time they didn't fight me. Yeah. And that was kind of a big moment for me. And it was, and so I went off to college, got that degree. And then when I graduated eventually with my nursing anesthesia degree here in South Florida at Florida International University, I literally had been home for probably 6 months preparing to start my first job. And the only way I can describe it is at the time, and I only had Christian understanding. I only had this concept of maybe the Holy Spirit and the mystical stories of the Bible. And I was sitting at a desk, and I'm telling you, it was like a living electric presence came around me. It could have hugged me. It was that palpable. And I knew there was personality to it. I couldn't tell what gender it was, but I knew there was personality. And I thought, wait a minute, this is one of those Bible experiences. I have to pay attention. And I heard, get in your car. And I thought, what the heck? I hate driving without a purpose. I never drive anywhere without a purpose. And I thought, okay, but it's one of those Bible experiences. I got to get in my car. So I got in my car and I said out loud as I shut the door, now what? And I swear I heard in my mind, drive south. And I thought, Kevin, what is going on here? Because there is nothing south of Fort Lauderdale, but these tiny little beach towns, there's nothing there. And I thought, well, what else am I going to do today? So I drove south, drove into Little Dania Beach, Florida, which is, little old town. And I saw this sign that said Metaphysical Chapel. And I thought, wait a minute, those two words are not spoken where I grew up. And I don't really know what that word metaphysics is, but I think it has something to do with psychic. And I know that word chapel is like a little wedding church. So I don't understand how these two words are going together. And that's weird. And I'm not having it. And I tried to drive past it. And when I did, the presence came back in my car. And I thought, well, what the heck is going on? And I heard in my head, or it was like my thoughts. I could hear, turn around, go back, go back, go back. And I thought, to that place? Seriously? And I thought, okay. And when I went back and they were closed, luckily, because I was so nervous. And I pulled out of the window the times, and I went back a couple of weeks later. And when I sat in the little service and watched a healing service, I'd never seen a healing service before. It was so beautiful. And all these healers up front doing spiritual healing. And then the minister, this woman in this beautiful robe came out, white robe. And I thought, oh, who is this? What's she doing? And next thing I know, she gets up in the pulpit and she says she's the minister. And I said, oh, aren't they progressive? A female minister? I've never seen this before, but I've heard about it. And I was like, wow. And then they started playing some music. And I thought, wait a minute, this is Baptist church music, but the words don't match. What is going on here? And I thought the words are really nice. It was like love and spirit and the light. And it was all these metaphysical kind of unity kind of words. And I didn't realize it was actually, when I looked back, it was a unity songbook. So I really enjoyed it. And then right away, pretty soon the minister started interpreting Bible scripture metaphysically. And I still really didn't even know the word. But what was interesting was that as she began to explain why was a man swallowed by a whale and then spit up after 3 days? Well, she explained what I was asking myself, trying to figure out since I was a little kid going to these little Sunday schools in Texas. Mm-hmm. The preachers didn't like my question. My family didn't like my questions. And I knew there is something in these scriptures that nobody's telling me. And there's something, I'm drawn to whatever that is. Well, it was metaphysics. I didn't know that. And that blew my mind. And then when she finished her whole sermon, I realized something is going on in my body because I'm hot, I'm sweating, and I could feel this. The only way I can describe it is like my soul on fire. Mm. Because I could feel something exciting. The energy was so high in me, which I'd never felt before, but it was familiar, and I could feel at the same time, you found your home.
Yeah.
And I thought, what is going on here? And then the Reverend Sherry, she started doing messages from spirit, and I thought, what in the church? This is of the devil. Uh-huh. This is what I was taught. And it was amazing. And I thought, what kind of church is this? And I realized they had come from the religion of spiritualism, and the founder had just kind of renamed it just to give it something unique, divine metaphysics, just to remind people that we're here to study and be a part of and live a life focused on that which is beyond the physical. And he wanted to remind us, it's not just the beyond the physics of metaphysics, it's the fact that God permeates everything in existence, us, sound, light, the universe, planets. So divinity is within everything, all of our thoughts, all of our actions. And we need to recognize that and honor that and live it in a very karmic way, you know, live it in a respectable way. And sure. I thought that was really beautiful. It made a huge difference in my life.
And how long after going there did you start studying right away? Did you step into that realm or did you take a step back and
My church was failing for a reason. They were literally a few weeks away from shutting their doors because they didn't know how to run a business. And it was interesting because I had a lot of good basic business principles. So I taught them how to do fundraisers and raise money and get an email list. They didn't even have an email list. Mm-hmm. And so I got them started. But what was interesting, they didn't even have an educational program at the time. So nobody was teaching me anything. I was going everywhere else in town to learn from all these healers, mystics and whatnot. We really didn't have a lot of people like you and I on the internet back then. Yeah. A little bit, you know, the James Van Prags and the Sylvia Browns and John Hollins. And you could get access to them, but it wasn't regular. Sure. So I went to all the locals to learn. And then pretty soon I realized actually my minister tricked me because she said, oh, Kevin, you're so educated. You like learning all this stuff. You know, we have a seminary program where you could go and learn metaphysical stuff. And all I heard was seminary. I said, oh no, I'm not a minister. You don't know me. I'm not minister material. I don't think I'm worthy. And she goes, no, just go take the classes. You just take the classes. Don't worry about it. And I was like, well, okay, I'll go check it out. So of course, Kevin goes and checks it out. And then I fall in love. And I thought, well, if I'm going to take the classes, I might as well get the credits. Mm-hmm. And before I knew it, she's like, when do you graduate again? And I said, you have asked me like 10 times in the last 2 years. Why do you keep asking me that? She goes, well, because when you become a deacon in your third year, technically you can run the church. So I'm retiring. I said, what you got? And so she got me. She knew how to find a replacement. And I was so clueless. I had no clue what she was doing. She was very smart.
Well, and it sounds like, though, that it was, I mean, I think Spirit a lot of times puts us, because a lot of people don't even know, but I'm also a minister and have been for almost 20 years. And it never was my intention to be a minister. I was the same way. Like, I'm not, that's not me. I for sure will burn in hell. Like, you cannot have me be a minister. But Spirit knew what they were doing because, you know, I was just like, okay, it just comes along with the rest of my program that I'm taking. Right. And then we get in the right places, you know, so that we can be, you know, certainly minister to people, but also be of service in, you know, I don't know if you do, but I've done many, you know, hundreds of weddings and funerals, and baptisms, and
I love them. I love wedding. And I love, and actually, as weird as it sounds, I love doing funerals. I don't like the word funeral, but I love the word celebration of life. It goes exactly with what you and I teach, which is, you know, we're eternal souls. We don't die. We continue living in a new form. So we're not really gone. We're just in a different way, a different vibration. And we're always around you. When you think of us and when your heart calls out to your loved one, they instantly know, they see your light and they come right to your side. They're always there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, so I think that being able to facilitate those things, although it sounds like you and I didn't have the awareness at the time that, this is something we'd really dig. Spirit knew better than us.
They sure did.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you went home or talked to your family, now you're a nurse, which only girls do.
That's
and
true.
Now you're going to be a metaphysical minister. Mm-hmm. Just curious what the response was.
Well, I didn't tell them for many years.
Okay.
And it was actually I think Spirit must have done it because somebody in my family pushed my buttons one evening, really it wasn't even directly at me. They were mistreating someone else in the family and I'd had enough. I just wasn't going to put up with it. And I should have controlled myself a little better, but little ego Kevin came out and, in my choice words, I came out that I was a minister and I thought, oh, what did I just say? Oh, that's what it was. They were throwing Bible scripture at me. I thought, oh, don't throw it at me. You guys made me memorize it my whole life. Plus I've been to 4 years in seminary and they're like, what? And I was like, oops, you know? So the title minister with some choice words didn't go over too well. And they never really spoke about it again because they're of a different religion. It doesn't sit well with many of them. And that's okay because I realize, you know, I realize my soul needs what it needs. And I celebrate actually, and I teach, we teach in metaphysics and spiritualism. Every religion is valid. Every religion needs to be on this planet because every religion is God in expression for that culture. Sure. God, that principle, that force of love came through the prophets for a reason. Muhammad, Buddha, Abraham, and so forth. And, you know, so every culture has a religious expression that is necessary for the people or the souls that are drawn to it. They may outgrow it. They may be turned off. And maybe the turning off from it is part of the soul lesson. It's just a part of the journey for the soul. But I never say one religion is higher than the others or the perfect one because they're all perfect for the souls that need them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always said there's a piece of truth in every one because that piece of truth is the connection of spirit for sure. Mm-hmm. So in the place that you are today, because I think this is interesting for people, because a lot of people that are into metaphysics and have had experiences with spirituality or mediumship or psychic awareness or what have you, have really had a lot of distance separation with family and friends because of the choices that they make, because it isn't mainstream in their culture. So when you speak to people that, you know, if we have people that are listening right now that are like sitting in that place, how have you dealt with that? What would you say to them?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll backtrack just a little. I'll say that for me, whenever I guess outed myself to my family that I was a minister, I didn't really go too deep into what I believed because I knew they couldn't handle it. But what I've realized is that every soul has their journey through life. Every soul needs those lessons, high lessons, lower lessons, blessed lessons, or lessons of burdens. And so if we are drawn, say, for instance, we were formerly Catholic. A lot of my congregation are former Catholics or former Christians. Possibly some are Jewish, but mostly the former. And what we find is they move out of those religions, but their families and their communities don't. Mm-hmm. And so there's always this pulling on the heart, a pulling in the mind. Yep. They feel an obligation to the family, to their community, to the church they grew up in. Mm-hmm. But yet their soul is saying, you found your home, just take flight. Yeah. And what I tell people is, just recognize that God has guided this into your life. The universe has opened the door for you to raise the vibration of your understanding, which is a really, it's a blessed moment because not a lot of people's souls are ready to rise up to another frequency. Right. They're not willing to consider new possibilities of mm-hmm. what you mean we actually continue living in the beyond, or, you know, that we can actually, those strange dreams that I'm having that feel so real when I wake up and it's almost like I can smell my grandmother's perfume. That was a visit. She really visited me. But a lot of religions don't really want to go there. However, in metaphysics and spiritualism and in some of the new thought churches and programs, they'll talk about that and teach that. So just recognize, especially for our viewers today, to recognize if you are guided, if your soul guides you to these new thought churches or spiritualist or metaphysical type churches, spiritual centers and programs, there's a reason you're being guided. And I say embrace it because we're there to just support ourselves, love ourselves, and recognize God flows through me just like every other Catholic, Christian, Judaic person in the religion of Islam. God flows through everything. So they're all correct. And it's just, you just have to find what resonates in your spirit. And if none of them resonate, that's okay. I do have a couple of atheist friends. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's interesting because I get to debate with them. And I like that. It's interesting for them to see my perspective.
Mm-hmm. My husband's agnostic, and so is one of my sons. And so it's, you know, that everybody has their own way of seeing things. And I think that mm-hmm. I think that when we, you know, I people, a lot of my clients are also what they call themselves recovering Catholics, or recovering Christians. And
I've heard that.
And the way that I kind of relate it is it's like they still want to hold some of the foundation of that, which is totally fine, but they're expanding beyond the confines of the religion.
Right.
And when people do that, it isn't always easy because there's a lot of pressure to stay yes. in the box. And so it's scary for a lot of people to walk out of that box and go, okay, well, you know what? This doesn't completely serve right. me. Aspects serve me, but it doesn't right. completely serve me.
That's a beautiful way of saying it. Exactly right. I see the same thing in a lot of the communities I serve. Mm-hmm. And people really struggle with that principle. And I, you know, I've even had to give some spiritual talks and sermons about how I've had to let some family and friends, longtime friends, mm-hmm. I just realized they weren't, this was probably the best thing I ever did too, because I remember one of my mentors many years ago said to me as I was saying, you know, my friends aren't treating me very nice. I'm trying to teach them about this metaphysics to help them and change them. And she's like, stop right there. Your job is not to change people. Your job is simply to shine and be who you are. And if people are drawn to you and they seem open to being receptive, then you can share, but don't push it on people. She said, if people are not supporting you and cheerleading what you're doing, they're not really meant to be in your life if they're not doing it in a respectful way. Mm-hmm. And she said, bless them on their journey, release them, because all you're doing is holding them back and they're holding you back. So bless them on their way, let them go. And I thought, oh, and when I started doing that, actually my life became so much more synchronistic mm-hmm. and opportunities began to happen. And I thought, what is going on? My mentor was right. And my life shifted when I surrounded myself with people like you and I, my cheerleaders, my people with same beliefs and teachings, and my life got a whole lot better.
Yeah. Well, because you're in the space where it's what's being activated is the ego that's wanting to make everybody change, or I think a lot of times, and I remember so many of my students when I first started teaching, so 20 years ago, and we'd have, you know, Angel 101 class, and they'd have an experience with their guardian angel, or they'd see them, or they'd get a message, and they'd be like, so excited. They'd be like, I got to tell everybody, and everybody needs to do this, and everybody needs to come to this class, and everybody, and it was excitement for this new thing that was so cool for them. And yet then wanting everybody else to experience, and nobody else was signing up for the class. They didn't want that.
Well, I'll tell you this, is an important thing you brought up, because you said they were so excited. They had an experience. They wanted to run out there and tell the world and shout to the world and bring everybody in. But it even happened to me. My Kevin's little heart is easy to get stepped on, and it's gotten a little more calloused over the years, but I still have a gentle heart. When I complained to Spirit one time, I said, you know, people aren't treating my what I'm sharing very nice, and I don't like it, and it doesn't feel good, and I don't understand what's wrong with people. This is great stuff. And they said, Kevin, didn't you grow up on a farm? And I said, yes. And they said, well, what was that saying in the Bible about pigs? And I said, cast not your pearls before swine. And they said, exactly. What you find valuable, the pearls of wisdom that you are celebrating and loving and appreciating, other people don't appreciate it. And so they will consider it as just as trash or anything else. And they hold no value to it. So they said, one of the best things that you can do is just drop one of your most basic of pearls, the simplest of lessons that you've learned. Nothing outrageous or emotional about your new learnings, your new metaphysical understandings. But maybe say to someone randomly, what do you think about dreams? You know, I saw something on TV about dreams. And if they poo-poo it and they tear you down for it, you better, there's your sign, because you shouldn't be giving them the more higher teachings and the more far out teachings. You know, maybe they may not be ready for law of attraction or manifestation or materializations of spirits. They may not be ready for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got to be very careful. And I think that's one of the best things I've taught a lot of my students and audiences is you value it, but not everybody does. So just be real careful and slowly drip it out to the people to see how they respond. And if they love it and they celebrate you, give them more. If they don't, there's your red flag. Bless them. Go the other way.
Yeah. Because it's really important, because then what ends up happening is now you're sabotaging your own joy and your own happiness and your own truth, because you're then, and people don't like to hear this, but if you keep going to the same people thinking that they're going to show up differently and they don't, you're setting yourself up.
That's powerful. Yes, that is so true. I've done that for years.
We all have, you know, in a variety of different ways. But I think when you start to, you know, really open up to new ideas and ways of seeing things, I don't really care what it is. It doesn't have to even be metaphysics. And you share from an open heart and people can't see it or can't connect with you, then a lot of times we take it personal. And it isn't about us. It's about them. So let them be where they are. And you stay in the flow of where you are.
I love it. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one question for you, and then I want to, you have a prize you are going to give away. So we're going to everybody. So I'm going to ask everybody to pick a number. So you're going to actually pick the number, right, Kevin? So he's got the number in his head.
Got it.
What he's going to do. Pick a number between 1 and 70, my friends. 1 and 70. Yeah. 1 and 70. And, whichever person comes closest, Kevin's going to give away a, what are you giving away?
Okay. I'm going to send to you privately here. Yes. There you go.
Okay.
All right. So, all right, you guys. So this is just a beautiful little album. Let me make sure it's,
I have an answer for that.
There we go.
There you go.
Anyway, Divine Oneness Meditations. You guys, this is one of my albums that I produced last year, a beautiful album. And I'm not just saying that, but this album was really channeled. I actually wanted to produce something that was guided by spirit. And with this album, I actually sat down over the course of a weekend. And I mean, I'm telling you, it just poured out of me. And I was so surprised what came out. but I wanted to make sure people understood the different principles of, you know, what is the white light? How do we work with it? What does it really mean? And just the principles of the I am nature. What is this I am that I am? What is the principles of breathing the chakras or, you know, and various exercises like that? So I wanted to take people on a journey with a little bit of teaching because I'm always a little professor. And so you get a little introduction before every meditation. And it even Spirit brought me a musician who was a former prophet, like a prophetic Christian. And he composed all the music. He channeled all the music right there on the spot in the studio. It was so beautiful. It was a wonderful experience. It was my first time in the studio. And so that's what I'm going to give you guys. It's called Divine Oneness Meditation. So whoever... We got one.
So we have an actual got it right on the dot winner.
Love it.
I just want to make sure we didn't have two. Okay. So the winner is Haley Sweet. Haley Sweet, you are the winner, sister. So you can email Kevin. Is that what you want them to do? Is email you?
Yep. Just email me and you can go to the website, you know, there below my image is revkevinlee.com. Just go through the contact page and just say that you're the winner of the CD album today. And I know your name, so I'll have that ready. And then I'll provide you with a special code for you to download that. And you can put that in your computer or your car, wherever you want to take it. And that'll be a nice little treat for you today.
Yeah. She says, no way. Yes way.
I love it.
Don't give away that abundance, sister. you know, open yourself up. Go, of course I'm the winner.
I love affirming. I affirm all the time. People tell me stuff and I say, you know, they'll say, they'll just give you some nice compliment. I'm like, I affirm that. Or they'll tell you, you're going to do great things one day. Oh, I affirm that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So congratulations. Awesome. All right, Kevin. So my last question was, what, before I ask you just some off the cuff questions, what do you feel like right now? With the pandemic and all the changes that are happening in our lives and in our world, what do you think is the most important thing? If you were going to just share a short, hey, guys, this is what you want to focus on during this time. What is that to you?
Love it. Not fear. How about that? But I'm going to go a little further. Not fear, because we see it all over the news.
Amen, my friend.
But let me say this. This is one of the rarest opportunities, literally in my whole lifetime of 50 years. And when have we ever been able to sit at home, you know, on restriction, whatever, but sit at home and actually work on things we want to work on? You know, this is a beautiful spiritual opportunity. I always say behind the dark clouds of life, the light of God is always shining. In other words, there's a spiritual lesson with every dark cloud, and you can't get the rainbows without the clouds, according to Dolly Parton. But let me tell you that this opportunity has allowed me to begin working on my spiritual ministry in a way I never really could. And I'm working on a book now, and I'm working on my business plans and new ideas and connecting in new ways with people virtually like I've never done. This has forced us. So see this as an opportunity to take you, your dreams, your bucket list items to another and to start looking into what can you do to open the doors of potential. What do you want to work on? And it's an opportunity for an amazing new you, really.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, it's time, guys, to start creating what you want to create. Whether that's a business, whether it's stronger health, whether it's better relationships, whether it's learning a new language, like it's time to create. Yeah. So if you got something you want to create, it's time to do it. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, I've got some just fun off the cuff questions for you. Let's see where we go. Okay, I pulled some new ones.
Good.
So these I haven't even read through yet. So I'm just going to the one that I got.
Off the cuff.
That's how I like to do it. It makes it fun. Okay. You've been given an elephant.
Okay.
You can't give it away and you can't sell it. What do you do with the elephant?
Huh. That is peculiar. Well, I'd be very happy. One, I don't know where
I would love elephants.
I think I would be in heaven because they're such soulful creatures. Their eyes, I've seen them in zoos. I've never been up close, but even from a distance of a good, you know, 30, 40 feet, you can see the soul in their eyes. And I would just be in heaven to be able to connect with something so incredible. They're so intelligent.
Mm-hmm. They're stunning. I was in Thailand the year before last. I took a group with me.
Wow.
And we got to be with the elephants and spend time with them. And I have a beautiful picture of me. And that's exactly what I did. Well, I did third eye to third eye.
Oh, and I love that.
It was just amazing. Actually, I have a little elephant, uh-huh. Pink elephant, of course.
I love that. Oh, and the Trump is up. That's good. That's prosperity. Yeah,
that's right. From that particular place. I love it. So, okay. I know that's kind of a crazy question, hey, you never know. Okay. So next question is, what is your greatest quality?
Wow. You know, I guess I right off the cuff, I can say compassion, because at the core of my nursing, that's one of the things that my patients and even my fellow workers, they notice, is that I'm there for the heart and the soul of the patient, because I know my patients are terrified. I know that they are losing control, and they're giving that control to me and the doctors and the nurses. And some of them are giving over privacy. Most people are very private and they don't like that what we make them do. And people are shaking and terrified. So I bring compassion to the bedside. And I find it goes right into everything I do in my spiritual ministry. And even my teaching, I find myself being incredibly compassionate, because I understand where the students are. Fearful, is this really me or is this spirit? And what was that crazy experience? It scares the heck out of me. No, don't worry. Let's talk about it. So I'm definitely a compassionate teacher, speaker, nurse.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Who had the most influence on you growing up?
Wow. Let's see, who would that be? I will tell you later in life. You know, what's interesting is Joel Osteen, oddly enough. Yeah. And he is the minister of Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. He's a very huge televangelist. I believe he has the largest church in the nation.
I think so.
I mean, it's something like 75,000 members. It's massive. And I was actually very good friends with one of his brothers who lived in New York City for several years. So I got to know of the family, and that's how I began to follow them. But I think what I learned from just, even though I was not Christian at the time, I could appreciate the message that was coming through and separate any more of the doctrinal stuff. I could push that to the side to receive the positivity. There was hope, there was inspiration, there was love. This guy was speaking in a way I'd never been spoken to. And I think that's why he has so many people just appreciate it. Where I grew up, they almost threw the Bible at you. They mm-hmm. screamed from the platform. You knew you were going to hell every day. Mm-hmm. And we were always terrified of church. And Joel, I think it just showed me I could be a different kind of a person when I speak about spiritual principles and teach religious concepts to audiences. So I really appreciate him as my example.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Beautiful. Okay. What is your not best quality?
I definitely am. Oh, I'll tell you what's interesting. As I'm learning to work on my business plan, the growth of my ministry, I have learned through Susie Carter, one of your friends.
Yeah, she's great.
I have learned, and actually, I think Tony Robbins even told me about this at a conference. I have got to stop being, what do they call it? The manager of the business, and start being the owner of a business. I have to step away from the admin details and allow an assistant or an office manager to do that while I cast the vision and I work in a larger capacity.
Right.
And that has been very hard. I am a bit too, it's hard to let go. Mm-hmm. Because I've done it for so long. I've had to do it myself. So can anybody do it as good as me? I don't know. And it's hard to let go.
Yeah. And it is. And I think it's true. I'm working right now on creating a spiritual membership program for people, spiritual business membership, to help people that want to create, build, grow spiritual businesses. And one of the things that so many of my mentees struggle with is working on the business instead of in the business.
It's so alluring.
And I've struggled myself with it, so I get it.
My personality, you can give me a research paper and I'll write a 100-page paper and I love detail. I love research and documenting and checking things off and doing all the little things, but that I don't want to be a manager. Right. I don't want to do all the little stuff. I want to do bigger stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. What are you reading right now? Do you read during?
Yes, I do. And one of the things actually that I have begun to read is this book is called Ethel Post Parish, Mediumship in America, because one of my dear, dear friends in England, York, England, just wrote this book. And this lovely lady, there she is, Miss Ethel, she's actually quite around me quite a lot in spirit. People notice her around me. And she was probably one of our most famous mediums in our history, a physical medium. And she ran a camp in Pennsylvania many years ago called Camp Silverbell. And it was world renowned. And so this dear friend who's an author and an incredible researcher, I gave him a lot of my knowledge and guided him to some resources so he could write I don't know if you call it a biography, but I guess that might be the word, a biography about her so that we don't lose this rich history and put it all in one place. So I just got that literally yesterday in the mail.
Oh,
so
awesome.
I started reading it.
Okay, very good. Did you know if she spoke at Lilydale?
I would assume so.
Yeah, her name sounds familiar to me. I did some events in Lilydale and
went to the museum, didn't you?
I don't know what I did. I spoke there somewhere, but we went to the stump and they talked about a lot of different people that had spoken on the stump and I could be wrong, but it seems to me that her name was connected to that.
She was very famous. And actually you can find a lot of stuff about her in Google, like Google Images. There's very famous images of spirit literally materializing, crazy enough. And there's photographic evidence of it. It looks so bizarre, but it's the most, probably the most famous photographic evidence of ectoplasm and spirit manifestation. But she's slumped over asleep in a little cabinet with her dear, dear friend, Lena Peggy Barnes, standing at the side protecting her while the photograph is being taken. It's really a famous picture.
So wow.
You might have come across that.
Huh. Well, and that's one of the things you study, right?
It is.
Some research on that type of thing. So
amazing stuff. Yeah, all the stuff of the Bible, let me tell you, it sounds so crazy. But all of the stuff of the Bible and probably all the other cultures that have all these peculiar myths, there's a reason these myths are there. They're not just made up. They've had strange experiences that they didn't understand. So they built the stories around them. And
sure.
What I have found in my research and also in my seminary, my ordinational training, that a vast majority of the phenomena, all of it really is it's all spiritual. Like we have names for it all. And it just amazes me what it's not really classified in the Bible is exactly what it is. But now that I know what it is, I can see it and tell you exactly what you're reading because I've seen it so many times.
Sure. Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Last question.
Yes.
If you, wanted to leave a message for the listeners, whether they're in person right now or, those that will join us afterwards, what do you feel is on your heart right now that you would want to share with everyone?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing that a lot of people seem to be looking for is their purpose. Our viewers probably tend to be in a vibration of a little bit of fear with what we're dealing with in the world. And what that brings in is a little bit of lack, that poverty consciousness that goes right along with it. When am I going to get my job back? Do I need to go relocate? Is a landlord going to demand my rent check this month? I don't have the money. So we're living in these times that are very uncertain. So people don't want to commit. I've even reached out to a lot of centers and conferences. Hey, can I book you guys for December, January in 6 months? No, we're not dealing with this. And I'm amazed they're not willing to prepare for even the future and pencil it in. But it's kind of the vibration. But what I want to say for viewers is this. Is that this is a great time to go back in, sit within for 15, 20 minutes, just sit and talk to spirit. Even if you don't know who you're speaking to, just speak and just raise your vibration and say, this is what I want for my life. This is where I seem to be drawn for a purpose, or maybe you don't have a purpose, but spirit will always give you an inclination because a memory will bubble up in your mind, or suddenly you'll think, why am I thinking about her? or that situation from my past. I haven't thought of that in years. Well, there's your answer. There's a reason the angels or your loved ones have guided that thought into the forefront of your mind. There's your answer. Look, there probably is something there that resonates with your purpose. If it excites you, makes you happy, makes your soul beam, there is a purpose hidden right there. How can we take that and then use it in a way that serves other people? And it does something to build you up. It builds you up in a loving way, builds you up in a skill way, professional way, builds a business, or it builds a nonprofit for your community to fulfill the needs of a community or people. So I'm all about purpose and making sure that we take the time to find where do we seem to have inclinations and what can we do with those? How can we use our gifts of the spirit, as we call them? My voice, my singing voice, my musical abilities, my leadership skills, like as a spiritual teacher like you, Sonny. And how can I use what I already have to serve those that are already on my path, meaning right in front of me, right in front of me? The universe guided these people right here to me. I don't have to look far. They're there for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's really what people have really need to focus on is finding where their purpose lies.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, a lot of people get so wrapped up in finding it that they forget to live it too. So absolutely. That's a powerful piece right now, especially because it's changing.
Sure is.
Changing. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, my friend. All right. So if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to read more about you, connect with you, then they go to RevKevinLee.com.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something. I've got a fun little feature that I will tell you guys. I have a texting service. If you guys want to jump on an email list with me, when you do this, you'll actually get a little bonus because it's for one of my programs that I haven't announced yet, but it's to help people go live. You know, basically all the cool tips and all the fun things we can do to have programs like this and to get on the internet and share our thoughts. But if you'll text RevKev, R-E-V-K-E-V, to this number, which is 22828. So that's 22828. And just text RevKev and it'll just ask for your email. That's all you need to do. And it'll log you in. You'll get a little bonus. It's some fun tips. It's a great little booklet I put together to get you ready to start. You're going to be putting your purpose out there somehow. So if you're stuck at home, you might as well do virtual. And it's a super easy, very either free or cost-effective way to get you on the internet quick. Facebook, I always get focus people on Facebook because it's so quick to get up and going. But there's a lot of other good platforms too to consider.
Sure. Awesome. Awesome, my friend. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to speak with you and hang with you today.
Awesome.
Hope you guys all enjoyed. My friend Kevin here. All right.
Thank you so much, Sonny. Awesome to be able to support you.
Oh, you bet. Appreciate that you were here. Mm-hmm. All right, my friends, and those of you that are here joining us, thank you so much for being a part of this today. You can get a hold of Reverend Kevin at, again, RevKevinLee.com. If you are new to Off the Cuff, please come back and join me every day at 1:11 p.m. Pacific time. I'm right here. I'm either interviewing someone or I'm speaking about a subject that is near and dear and helpful, hopefully, to you. Oftentimes on Fridays, I will be doing readings, so you can join me on Fridays as well. And if you are looking for a greater connection with other people, then you want to come and visit us. Also, be shy. Go ahead and share this with anyone that you think might be interested. You can actually just comment right here in the comments and tag somebody in it, or you can actually share the video with them and get them to know what it is that we're doing here too. So thank you so much. Thanks for your love and support for Kevin. And I appreciate you guys being with me. Have a fantastic time. And hey, don't forget, if you haven't signed up for Thrive yet, you want to check it out. Thrive is this next month. We're going to be talking about emotions. So you definitely want to go check out Thrive. SonnyDonJohnston.com/thrive. So make sure you get us there too. Okay, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a good one. See ya. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydawnjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.